Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Judges, chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 15. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zananim near Kedesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So you might be thinking, why on earth have I chosen Deborah for today's reading? Out of all the Bible telling some incredible stories of women, why have I chosen this one that is quite complex and has a lot of words? I know, Adam, when you were trying to pick the songs for today, nothing came up when you were trying to think of what songs to do with Deborah. So I know it's a bit of a tricky read, so I just thought I'd do a bit of a recap, and then we're going to be looking more at Deborah's characteristics. So Deborah was a worshipping warrior. I absolutely love that phrase. So she found encouragement and strength in worship to be obedient to everything the Lord was asking her to do. So if Deborah had played small in her life, she would not have had all the experiences that led her to being used by the Lord to deliver Israel from persecution. She would not have had the wisdom and revelation to judge disputes. She would not have heard the Lord's strategic battle plans as an intercessor. She would not have extended her compassionate heart beyond her family to all of Israel, and she would not have brought healing and empowerment to the whole nation. So we're on the appreciation part, and I just wanted to pick out some kind of keywords, if you like, from the reading we've just heard, which describes Deborah as a person and as a character and as a strong female. I realise that is very tiny, so I'll just go through them with you. So the first word that I've highlighted is a prophet. So she was a teacher and a woman of God. I know we've got many teachers with us here today as well. She was a wife, so she was supported by her husband. Leading, so she's a leader. She's a woman with authority and respect. She held court, so she was certainly a very busy woman, which I'm sure many of you can relate to as well. Disputes decided, so she was a judge and a decision maker. She was a very clever lady. She went with Barak. She's a cheerleader and an ally. She inspired the Israelites to a mighty victory over their oppressors. So, of course, this is just a small section of Deborah, and it does go on. But there is actually another reason why I chose Deborah today. So this takes us to our validation part. Why have I chosen this, and what's the me meaning? Why have I chosen this story? Well, it's because I was given this note. So here it is on screen. I don't know if anyone recognises the handwriting, but I'll read it out loud. So it says, "Rachel, I have the sense that you could be a Deborah," and then quotes Judges, "a leader, an unusual leader." So this note was given to me on my confirmation day when I was 18 years old here in this church. And it was from Elaine Wainainer, so she wrote this to me. So I keep this note in my pen pot on my desk. And this note's actually inspired me to lead the service today, as I hope it encourages others, so you guys, to think about your gifts and how women in the Bible can influence you. If I'm perfectly honest, I don't know the full meaning of this note, even if there is a meaning, but I'd just like to take this opportunity to unpick it with you all here today. Now, David, you will like the next slide. If it comes up, here we go. So, David, how old was the Queen when she became Queen? 25. So I'm 25 years old, right? And so I'm the same age as the Queen when she became the Queen. And the thought of leading a country at my age, well, I'm the Commonwealth extra, not only baffles me, but it scares me. I could not imagine being a leader at that age. I can only imagine how she felt. It's the Commonwealth. Oh, is it? Oh, well, appropriate. Is she not? Oh, we'll chat about it later, David. But I guess Queen Elizabeth, all those years ago, she did have one thing, and it's something she still has, that she has God very much on her side. So what does it mean to be a leader? So I was thinking about this note and about all the qualities of a leader. For me, a good leader is someone who puts others' needs before themselves, listens, then speaks, allows every voice to be heard, and leads the way with clarity, humility, kindness, and good intentions. But they're not afraid to adapt or to be open to new ideas and ways of doing things. So Deborah led her army into battle. She didn't really know if they would succeed or not, but, like the Queen, she did have God on her side. So throughout my life, I've always been one to speak up or take control in group work, whether that's been at school, university, work, or even here in church. So perhaps in many ways, I am a bit of a natural leader. And with taking the natural leader role as a female means I have often been called bossy, gobby, loud, and a little bit sassy. Words a man wouldn't really be called in the same way. So another reason why we need to break the bias. But I think it's worth noting the difference between a leader and a boss. I think this image sums it up pretty nicely. A leader is there with you along the way, just like Deborah. "Certainly," she said, "certainly I will go with you." And just like Jesus as well. I don't know if anyone's read or heard that. There's that beautiful poem about footprints in the sand. When the Lord carries us when we're down. And I think this is the sign of a good leader. There's other ways I'm a bit of a leader. So with my family, I'm a daughter and I'm a bit of an annoying sister. I think as a family, I know when people come over for family meals and stuff, we all try and take the lead with who's louder than each other. But that's all just because we've got opinions to share and we all build each other up. So in a sense, we are all kind of leaders in my family. In my friendship group, I'm the group organiser. I'm forever organising holidays or nights out and things. In work, I lead on client accounts. And then here at church, I am the Sunday Club and Level Up coordinator. So in many aspects of my life, I'm already a bit of a leader. But what does it mean to be unusual? The truth is, I'm still figuring that one out. And perhaps it's what I just said during a few slides back. It's about not being afraid to adapt and be open to new ideas and ways of doing things. In many ways, that's how International Women's Day came about. It was from female leaders wanting to change and for standing up for what's right. So I'm not entirely sure what it means to be an unusual leader, but I do know that anything is possible with God. And I know he has a plan for me, just like he has a plan for everyone here. And sometimes it might mean going against the flow. Very tiny again. I've made a mental note to make these bigger if I do this again. So I'm just going to read a few Bible quotes for you. Kind of what I've taken, what it means to be unusual and going against the flow and God's plan as well. So, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope." Second one. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." And then the final one. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose." And before I hand it over to you guys, I'm just going to share my favourite Bible quotes, really. So this was a note that was given to me when I was at university. We had a little care package sent to us from church, and this note was in it. So, "She is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." This is something I ever say to myself if I'm had a bad day or I don't really know why something's happened. I always go back to this note. And then just finally, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill promises to her." So, now it's over to you guys. I am just a little bit over my timings, by the way, so I hope you don't have to rush off. So, in typical PR and marketing fashion, at work we do something called brainstormings when we come up with new ideas. So this is the ideation part. And then I want you to formulate a future promise to yourself. So this is how we're going to do it. In groups or just individually, you have got post-it notes. There's a few pens dotted around. I'm hoping some of you have brought your own pens as well. But I want you to ask yourself or discuss which women in the Bible inspire the way you live your life. And then I want you to make a bit of an action plan, a formula if you like. So what are the actions you plan to take to be more like the chosen woman from the Bible? So what have you chosen to be more like? Mary, Ruth, Esther, Hannah, etc. Or if you can't think of a woman in the Bible, just think of a woman in faith. Maybe it's someone here today, or maybe it's just a popular figure. So, cool, I'll leave it to you guys, about 5 minutes, and then we're going to go into the final song, and then I'm going to invite you to stick your post-it note on this mirror here. A self-reflection, if you like. Cool, right, over to you then.